Are y'all doing okay this morning? You seem a little tired. Are you all right? Okay, you're making it through the holiday season okay? All right, because this is an important few weeks for us, right? We're setting up this afternoon. We need you to be healthy and strong and ready to roll. Women will be in here at 2:30, so lots of stuff going on. You know, this year we decided to advertise for A Night in Bethlehem just through social media. And so if you're on social media, hopefully you'll start to see things this coming week or started to see things this past week. But boy, do your best this week to invite your friends, invite your neighbor, invite your coworkers to come out on Friday night, on Saturday night, or on Sunday night. It is a joy to share the gospel through cookies and hot chocolate and animals. Now, I have to prepare you for next week when you show up. The parking lot will not have places to park in it. One Sunday a month is going to be a pain for you to find parking. So, or is it every Sunday a month? I don't know. So one Sunday a month next week, you'll need to park here in the funeral home, maybe in Barton or Stepping Stone, or we can line the streets up with cars as well. But the good news is there'll be a camel and there'll be a petting zoo here that you can also play with after you make the hike to get to the church building next Sunday. So show up early and get sort of a good spot, if you can call it that, next week. And we look forward to what God is going to do. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to start reading in verse 18, where the book of Matthew says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And what a scandal this would shape up to be. And you are with child, huh? And it's not my child, and you're saying that it's from the Holy Spirit. What a scandal this would shape up to be. Now, history says that Matthew got the majority of his information on the birth of Jesus from Joseph. So we could say with quite a bit of confidence, this is a perspective of Joseph right here. In verse 19, it says, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now, that is the just thing to do. That's very nice because according to the law, Joseph would be able to stone his fiancée, Mary, with rocks, throwing them at her until she was dead. So that would be the legal arrangement there. But he says, that's not me. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to put her to shame. I'm going to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful statement that is. Joseph, don't be afraid to do it. How often does God change our path from stepping out to do one thing and then us hearing his word or sensing the Holy Spirit and realizing, no, we got to turn and we've got to do something else that God wants us to do? Have you ever had that happen? Now, it doesn't take an angel to appear to you in a dream as it did to Joseph to say, listen, you're on the wrong path. Turn, I've got something different in store for you. Because we have the Holy Spirit in our lives today, and the Holy Spirit can use his word, he can use each other to say, listen, this is what you need to do. This is what God has prepared. Let me ask you this, church, are you putting yourself in a place where you can hear and respond to the voice of the Lord correcting your path? Say, well, I'm already in church on Sunday morning. That's a start. No question, that's a start. But what about on Monday? If the Lord needs to get a hold of you on Monday, are you in a place where you're going to be able to hear his voice? What about on Tuesday? Are you putting yourself in a place where you're into the word of God and you're on your knees before the Lord? You're getting into that quiet place with the Lord that you can meditate and hear what he would have prepared for you in your life. See, with Joseph, it's this angel that appears in this dream and saying, Joseph, don't worry. What is happening inside of Mary? That is from the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Isn't that beautiful? You're to call his name Jesus. Now, why do we focus so much on the name of Jesus? I get asked this from time to time. Well, we sing a whole lot about the name of Jesus, and we don't sing about Abraham very often or somebody else. Why do we spend so much time focusing on the name of Jesus? Well, it's really interesting, and I want us to dig into that question here this morning. You see, from the beginning of the Bible all the way to the very end, the Lord has revealed himself to us through his name. The Lord has revealed himself to us through his name. And I love this about the Lord, how he speaks to us through his name. It's personal, isn't it? It's up close. It's friendly. This is the Lord revealing himself to us through his name. Now, he could have revealed himself through many other ways, and he did do other ways, but the majority of time we see him giving us his name. Now, in 2018, our names are very personal, and we have a hard time giving them out sometimes, right? Because I don't want my identity to be stolen. So when you come and meet me, of course, I'm going to give you my first name, but before I put my first and last name together, we got to have a few more steps involved in the process, right? We know that. This is our name. This is a personal thing that's going on here, how the Lord has chosen to reveal himself to us. Now think about even in Matthew, when Jesus is telling us how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, what is he saying how to pray? He says, to pray this, hallowed be your name. Right? Literally, make holy the name of God. His name is holy. Do we even know what that's about? Sometimes we just think, oh yeah, Jesus, that was just the name that was happened. But this name, Jesus, it came by proclamation of angels. So I'm just willing to bet that there's nobody else in this room who an angel appeared to your father or your mother and said, you're to name him Jonathan. Anybody else? All right, so there's some significance to what is happening here in the name of Jesus. You see, the name Jesus means the Lord saves. And that's why when this angel appears and says, you're to call him this name, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, we've actually seen this name many other times in the Bible. It's the same as the name Joshua in the Old Testament. Man, if you haven't read through the book of Joshua, I encourage you to go back and read, because you see so many parallels between the freedom that Joshua brings and the freedom that we find in Jesus. Now, throughout the Old Testament, when the Lord reveals a name, about half of the time he does it with the name El. So in the Old Testament, in Hebrew, the word El is a generic name for God. And it's just the way that we talk about God. So in the same way today, it's really easy to just mention God and talk about God, because everybody has their own idea of who God is. So if you're in the coffee room and you're talking about God, everybody can jump in there, right? But then when you mention Jesus, all the oxygen is sucked out of the room, right? There's something different when it becomes personal. So about half of the times in the Old Testament, the name of God is built on the word El. The one that John always likes to share with us is El Yeshuati, right? The God who is my salvation. But the one we talk about in this time of year is Emmanuel, right? That we see God in this name, which means God with us. But about the other half of times in the Bible, when the Lord reveals himself through his name, he does throw through the name Yahweh. See, here's the name Yahweh. Moses is on Mount Sinai, and he's standing before this bush that is burning, but it's not consumed. And God in this bush is speaking to him, and it says, go back to my people and lead them out of slavery. And Moses says, God, who am I supposed to tell them is sending me? I just can't say El. I just can't say God. You got to give me something. What is your name? And the Lord is, he doesn't look at Moses, because it's a bush that's burning and not consumed. The Lord speaks out of the bush and says, Yahweh. It's a personal name of God. Now, how do we translate that into English? Well, most of the time we just say, I am, right? We just say, I am, and it's such an incredible name. We really don't have any equivalent for it in the English language because Yahweh is a name that simply is. We talk about God being eternal. It means that he has no beginning. He has no ending. He is at all time. He is God. This is Yahweh, right? We could be able to translate Yahweh, I have been who I have been, I am who I am, and I will be who I will be. All of that is in the name of Yahweh. What an incredible name for God. Aren't you glad that we follow and we worship a God who has such a cool name? And that is awesome to me. All right, what an incredible name of God. Now about half of the times now that God is going to reveal himself in the Old Testament, he is going to use the name Yahweh with another name to show how it goes together, to show who he is. I want you to write some of these down. I want us to look at five of these things. One that he reveals the most often is called Yahweh Elohim, and it simply means the Lord God. The Lord God. So Yahweh is El, okay? Yahweh is God. Now, why is that so important? Because it's very, very important to recognize that Yahweh, the God who revealed himself to Moses, the God who revealed himself to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, that Yahweh, he is God. Are you following with me or are you asleep? Are you okay? Y'all need to do jumping jacks or something. I feel like I'm getting excited. Y'all aren't getting excited. All right. So the Lord is God. That's so important for us to know today, especially when everybody just has their own idea of who God is and what God is. And here's the second name I want you to write down. It's Yahweh M. Kadesh, and it means the Lord makes holy. Okay, now in Ezekiel has just seen this valley full of dry bones and the head bones connected to the neck bone connected to the shoulder bone, right? And he goes through all the way to the feet, and now you have this army of the Lord there in Ezekiel chapter 37, and Ezekiel looks at it, and it's not just an army of dry bones. The Lord speaks, and he says, the Lord makes holy what he's put together. Now, here's the deal, church. We see this in English, and this is why English is such a stupid language for this reason, right? We see it in English, and it's this little sentence that's together. The Lord makes holy. But that's not what God does when he reveals his name. He looks at this army that's been put together in the valley of dry bones, and he looks at it and says, Yahweh M. Kadesh, the Lord is holy. We look at that in English, we say, yeah, the Lord makes holy. No, this is his name. You see, what is he doing as he reveals it? He's showing us his character. He's showing us some of his heart. He's showing us the way that he thinks, the way that he is. Here's another name. He says, Yahweh Shalom. I love this one. You see, in the book of Genesis, you have Gideon who's kind of freaking out because the Midianites are coming into Israel and they're going to come and conquer them. And the Lord calls Gideon and says, I'm going to raise you up to fight against these Midianites. And he develops this great plan that involves water, and it's wet one morning and it's dry the next morning. And God, you're going to have to show me this plan. And the Lord comes through in every single way that he can. And Gideon realizes this about the God that he's following. He says, God is my peace. Jehovah Shalom. Yahweh Shalom. The Lord of peace. But again, it's not just this little sentence, is it? This is God appearing here, and Gideon realizes this. Yahweh Shalom. I love this one here. This is Yahweh Yireh, Jehovah Jireh. This is the Lord provides. See, in Genesis 22, Abraham is sacrificing his only son, Isaac, and he's bringing down the knife, and the Lord calls out from this thicket and says, Abraham, don't sacrifice him. There's a ram that I have right here. And you just get this picture of Abraham falling down on his face before this angel of the Lord and saying, Yahweh Yireh, the Lord provides. It's who he is. It's his nature. It's what he does. Here's this last one to write down. It's Yahweh Nisi. It means the Lord is my banner, or the Lord is my victory. And I love this story where it comes from, because Moses and the Israelites are fighting the Amalekites. And Moses has his arms raised up. And as long as his arms are raised up, the Israelite army is beating Amalek and the Amalekites. But his arms get tired. The blood flows out of him. And so he lowers them down. And then the Amalekites start to win. And so he raises them back up. And then the Israelites win. And he lowers them down. The Amalekites are winning. So Aaron gets wind of this, right? He's like, hey, this isn't coincidence. He goes and he puts stones up underneath Moses' arms so that he can keep his arms raised and the staff of God raised up. And as long as his arms are raised, God routs the Amalekites and offers this incredible victory right there in Exodus chapter 17. And you see in Moses after the victory saying, the Lord is our victory. But listen, it's not this little sentence that says the Lord is our victory. He says, Yahweh Nisi, this is your name. You have revealed yourself in victory to me. I love these names. See, look at what you just wrote down, church. Look at those names right there. Has God revealed himself to you through those names? See, because those names are still active today. Has he been your peace? Has he been your victory? Has he been your provider? You see, this is how the Lord is revealed to us. Now, maybe some of you would look at three of those and say, I know these three. I know God in my heart in this way. But you look at the other two, you say, I don't know him in this way. Then we need to look at those names in faith to realize, God, this is who you are, and I'm going to walk in it, and I'm going to believe who you are. Isn't it amazing how phrases change over the years, and we lose their meanings? My mom growing up was the queen of weird phrases that had been passed down to her that I never knew what they meant. You know, I would go take a bath, and she would tell me, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like, that is just weird. Right, but I'm not taking a bath with a baby. You know, this is weird. So it wasn't even until I'm adult, I just grew up hearing that statement, that I realized where it came from. And in the old days, right, they had to go draw water, they had to go pour it in this iron tub, and they would pour all the clean water into the tub, and the man was the first one to take a bath. Oh yeah, man taking a bath. Right? But all the family then would use the same bath water. This is kind of nasty. Right? The wife would be second, then the oldest children down to the youngest children would get the nasty bathwater. So it was so dirty and so gross, you could throw out the baby with the bathwater if you weren't careful. That's disgusting. It's a good thing some phrases change and some meanings change over time, right? Now, when I was a teenager, if I wanted to insult somebody, or if you know, they were just annoying me, I would tell them, hey, here's a quarter. Call someone who cares, right? Anybody ever use? Yeah, that's great. But with my children, when they're like, and I'm like, hey, here's a quarter, call someone who cares. They're like, what do I need a quarter to call somebody for? What's the deal there? Thank you for giving me a quarter. Why do I need a quarter? Just, is something broken with my cell phone? You know, it's a strange thing. And then I'm talking to my son, and, you know, maybe I'm ragging on him a little too much, and he says, hey, Dad, can I get a rip in the chat? I'm what'd you call me, right? I don't even know what language are you speaking. It's different, isn't it? It's from Fortnite, by the way. You can Google it and figure out where it comes from, right? So it's very strange how sentences and phrases change. Listen, and when those change from year to year, understand this, the name of God never changes. Never changes. The New Testament says that it is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So if the Lord is my victory yesterday, the Lord is going to be my victory tomorrow, because that's who he is. That's what he does. And we can look on it in faith, and we can walk in it every single day. Now, we respond to the name of the Lord, right? It is a name that demands a verdict for us. What do we do because God has revealed himself to us through his name? Well, we recognize the name of God. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 42 in verse 8. Just keep your finger here in Isaiah because we're going to be in several verses here in Isaiah. In 42 verse 8, the Lord says this, I am the Lord, that is my name. Now again, English doesn't do it justice, right? He says this, I am Yahweh. That is my name. I am the one from eternity. I am the one who's never going to end. I am the one that always is, and that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. So we recognize the name of God. Now here's the second part. We honor the name of God. And this is in the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 20, verse 7, what's one of the commandments? Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Boy, Lord, may you use that to convict us in this room. Why would we do that? Right? Look at how special Yahweh is. Look at how special Yahweh is, my peace is. Look at that. Right? Why would we scream that out when we stub our toe? Or somebody cuts us off on I-35. He says, don't do that. Right? Honor it. It is holy. It's in this place of holiness. Honor the name of God. Now, here's the second part of it, right? We identify with the name of God. If you go back there to Isaiah chapter 43, in Isaiah 43 and verse 7, look at how the Lord states this. He says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Right? This is what Israel did. He said, I've revealed to you my name. Now follow me, right, as Yahweh. And so Israel was supposed to come in line then behind Yahweh, and they're following after the God who created the heavens and the earth. They're identifying with him. That's exactly what we do. Right? His name becomes our name. His character that's revealed in his name becomes our character that's revealed to the world. We identify with the name. Listen to this. We know the name of God. There in Isaiah chapter 52, in verse 6, look at how he says this here. He says, therefore, my people shall know my name. How important this is. It's not a knowledge of, okay, I understand what it means. I understand the Lord is my victory. No, this is relational and experientially knowing. Right? When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit and they sinned, the Bible says they knew good and evil. That's the same word. They experienced it. They could relate to it. This is the understanding right here. We know the name of God. John 17, 3 says, this is eternal life, that they would know the Father in Jesus Christ whom he sent. Now, here's the last thing. We are saved by the name of God. Right? This is in Joel chapter 2, verse 32. Where he says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We're saved by it. And if you look at just our response here, I mean, this response, as we've laid it out here in Scripture, is really our salvation. This response is how our lives are changed. We recognize the name of God. We honor it. We identify with it. We know it. We're saved by it. This is the power of the name of God. Is there anything like it? You know, yesterday we went with a group of men out to East Kyle to get the sets for A Night in Bethlehem that are scattered around the parking lot right now. And don't worry about the mess that you see. By the end of tonight, it'll be an organized mess. So right now it's unorganized, then it'll be organized. You never know what you're going to get out there because we have all the sets just put inside this shipping container out on a field in East Kyle. And when we opened it, the first thing we were greeted with were a pile of ants that were just all along the doors. I mean, thousands of ants. So we all got to dance, you know, a little bit and stomp in these ants. But we were quickly distracted from the ants by all of the yellow jackets, hundreds of yellow jackets. And thankfully, they're very dormant because of the cold. So again, we're just stomping them. But the yellow jackets weren't as intimidating as the red wasp that were in there. A big old red wasp. So we're wiping them off. We're killing them. I'm recruiting for next year, by the way. Everybody come out. All right, we're recruiting. As we start pulling the set pieces out, these two huge scorpions crawl out. And so we're setting them free to go multiply and have a good time, right? But none of that really bothers me. All of those insects, none of that bothers me. What did bother me a little bit is a friend that we have living in the container. And he's lived there for several years, but we've only seen his or her remnant as we've gotten into that thing. We're pulling off these set pieces, and you got to crawl back into the darkness. And there as you're crawling, stretched across the set pieces about 3 to 3.5 to 4 feet long is a snake skin that is just all well and intact. And that's when I crawl out and I say, Ethan, why don't you crawl back there and let's get these things pushed out a little bit further. Will you go on and get these things? See, we could have made a decision at that time to say, oh, there's ants. No, we're no Bethlehem this year. Oh, there's yellow jacket. No Bethlehem. A snake. Forget it. No Bethlehem is going on this year because in all of our life, what we encounter demands a verdict, right? When we encounter the name of God right here, it demands a decision from us. A verdict from us that, am I going to press into who God is and how he's revealed himself? Am I going to put my faith in the name of God and believe him for who he says that he is? Or am I going to turn away and live my life for myself? That's where we find ourselves still in 2018. You say, Jonathan, everything that you've given us since the very beginning is just Old Testament. You said that, the angel tells Joseph to give him the name of Jesus, right? But this is where I get so excited. I'm sorry, I'm getting so excited. And y'all are getting excited, right? He tells him to name him Jesus. This is what's great. You see, Jesus invokes the name of God for himself in the New Testament. Right in the book of John, Jesus is arguing with the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are getting more and more mad at Jesus. And finally, he tells them, before Abraham was, I am. And we miss this in English because it just says, well, why is he just saying, I am? He's saying the name of God for himself. Right? It doesn't say just I am. He says, listen, before Abraham was, Yahweh. And he's speaking it. For him. And the Pharisees know what they're doing, and so they reach down to pick up rocks to throw them at Jesus until he's dead, but he's led away miraculously by the Lord. Why do we think in the book of John we celebrate these seven I am statements? Because this is the Lord saying his name in Jesus Christ, saying Yahweh, the bread of life, Yahweh, the great shepherd, Yahweh, the gate for the sheep. I mean, even when Jesus was taken away in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember what happened? They come to get Jesus. He meets them. He doesn't hide behind an olive tree. He runs out to meet them. He says, who are you looking for? They say, Jesus. And how does he respond? Our Bible says, I am he. That's not what he says. Right? Who are you looking for? We're looking for Jesus. And he looks at him and he says, I am who I am. Yahweh. And the Bible says, even those people who were coming to crucify him fell down on their faces. Because that's the power of the name of God spoken from the one who owns it. That's Jesus. Listen, this shouldn't surprise us because the Old Testament is full of Jesus. Every book of the Bible has the name of Jesus written on it in one way or another. In the book of Genesis, he is the seed of the woman. In the book of Exodus, the Passover lamb. Leviticus, the high priest. Numbers, the water from the rock. In Deuteronomy, Jesus is the prophet, just like Moses. Joshua, we see him as the commander of the armies of the Lord and Judges, the true judge. In Ruth, he is the kinsman redeemer. 1 and 2 Samuel, the prophet of the Lord. 1 and 2 Kings, the reigning king. 1 and 2 Chronicles, the glorious temple. In Ezra, he is the faithful scribe. Nehemiah, the rebuilder of the walls. Esther, the timing of God. In Job, the day spring of the living God. In Psalms, we know him as the Lord who is our shepherd. Proverbs, the wisdom of God. Ecclesiastes, the meaning of life. And Song of Solomon, the lover of my soul. In Isaiah, we see Jesus as the suffering servant. Jeremiah, the righteousness of God. In Ezekiel, the Son of Man. In Daniel, the Ancient of Days. In Hosea, the faithful bridegroom. And in Joel, the offer of salvation. In Amos, he is our burden bearer. In Obadiah, the mighty Savior. And in Jonah, Jesus is the forgiveness for all mankind. In Micah, he is from the days of eternity. In Nahum, the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, we see him as the knowledge of the glory of the Lord filling the earth. And in Zephaniah, the restorer of the remnant. In Haggai, he is a cleansing fountain. In Zechariah, the pierced son. And in Malachi, he is the son of righteousness. In the book of Matthew, Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. In Mark, the servant of the Lord. In Luke, he is the Son of Man, and in John, he is the Son of God. In Acts, we see him as the ascended Lord. In Romans, the justifier of our souls. In 1 Corinthians, he is the resurrected Lord. And in 2 Corinthians, he is the grace of God. In the book of Galatians, he is the one who sets us free. In Ephesians, the cornerstone. In Philippians, God meets our every need. And in Colossians, we see the fullness of the Godhead in Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians, the soon coming King. In 2 Thessalonians, the Lord of peace. In 1 Timothy, he is a mediator between God and man. And in 2 Timothy, he is power, love, and self-discipline. In Titus, he is our blessed hope. In Philemon, a friend who is closer than a brother. And in the book of Hebrews, he is the blood of God that washes away my sins. In James, he is a great physician. In 1 Peter, the living stone. And in 2 Peter, he is everything we need. In 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he is our everlasting love. And in Jude, he is our Savior. But in the book of Revelation, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is Jesus. He's our Savior. And the Lord revealed to Joseph, you are to call his name Jesus because he will save his people from his sins. Now listen, church, what God does in that name of Jesus is that he takes all of these names, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Shalom, all of these names of God, and he puts them into the name of Jesus. How do I know that? Because that's what we see in the name of Jesus in the New Testament, right? That's why Peter can look at the very people who crucified Jesus and tell them in Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given among heaven by which men should be saved. Right? That's why Paul in Philippians, when he writes this here, he says in Philippians chapter 2 in verse 9, he says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on Jesus the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And 2,000 years ago, in a dream, an angel says, Joseph, don't be afraid of that girl, Mary. What's within her is conceived of the Holy Spirit, and his name will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, thank you so much for the way you love us. God, as I see your name, I see your love for us revealed in such an incredible way. God, you've been faithful in every year of your creation to reveal yourself to us. And God, it wasn't about what you did. It wasn't about what you're going to do. It wasn't even about what you are doing right now. But God, it was simply about who you are in the name that is revealed. And God, as you've revealed who you are to us, and as we've just gotten a taste and a glimpse of that this morning, Lord, it makes me want to be with you all the more. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would come for us on a horse of white. We pray that you would come for your bride. But God, until that time, as we wait, you've given us this ability and this opportunity through your Holy Spirit to relate to you, to know you, and to be known by you. Thank you for the way you've revealed yourself to us. Lord, this year, as we look at Jesus, may we be changed by that name. It's in his precious, holy name, our Savior, our Lord, King of Kings. Amen. God is good, church. A lot to do today. Go with the Lord. We'll see you soon.